And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. Ever since young Oliver Wilson's body was discovered hanging high in the wings of the Hamilton Theater just off Broadway in New York, everyone who was present backstage on that fateful evening has been under suspicion, and the strain's beginning to tell on most of them. Right now, Larry Noble is finding it impossible to settle down in his Rosehaven, Long Island home. Ever since lunchtime, he's been as restless as a caged lion. And right now, he grabs his hat from the hall table and, without a word, leaves the house.
Oh, excuse me, sir.
Well, what do you want?
Well, you're Mr. Noble, aren't you?
I am. What about it?
Oh, only that you better not figure on going anyplace right now.
And why not, officer?
Well, it's orders, sir.
Whose orders?
Oh, I was sent out to keep an eye on the place. Sergeant Riley told me I was to keep an eye on everybody.
So it's come to this, has it? We have a police officer watching my house.
Well, it's orders, Mr. Noble.
And just what are you supposed to be watching for? Or didn't the sergeant say?
Well, it's mostly just a question of protection, Mr. Noble, while this murder case going on.
Does that mean that I can expect to have you or some other uniformed officer of the law standing watch at my driveway until this whole murder business is solved and the guilty person sent to prison?
Well, I wouldn't know about that. All I know is that I was sent down to keep an eye on the place. A while ago, I asked Miss Marlowe to stay in the house. For now, anyway. She didn't make any fuss about it.
And what about tonight? Am I to be kept a prisoner in my own home? Or will the sergeant allow me to go to New York, where I happen to be working in a play?
Oh, he'll assign somebody to go with you when you have to go into New York.
Well, that's just fine. So I'm to have an escort wherever I go.
Well, all I know is I've got orders to keep an eye on things out here.
Does this mean by any chance that I'm under arrest?
Oh, no, sir.
Then just how far does this protective custody reach?
Oh, I don't get you, Mr. Noble.
I'm just trying to find out how far Sergeant Riley is intending to go in carrying out his orders.
Well, he doesn't want to make anybody sore, only, well, there's a lot of angles to a case like this, and, well, usually they've got to station an officer around till things kind of cool off.
Well, I don't intend to be kept in the house. I see no reason why I should be ordered to remain in any one place. I'm not under arrest, and I'm not accused of any crime.
Oh, that's right. Only it's usually better to do what the sergeant says. He don't like it when people don't follow out his orders.
Oh, my. Well, that's just too bad for Sergeant Riley. But I don't intend to be bullied or browbeaten or frightened by his methods. You can tell him for me that if he has any reason to keep me under lock and key, he can prefer charges against me. Until that time, I mean to go wherever I please.
Well, now, look, Mr. Noble.
I've explained my stand completely. Just don't try to stop me unless you have a warrant for my arrest.
And inside the house, Mary and Maud Marlowe, the family friend who lives with them, have been watching this scene through the front window. And we hear...
Well, there he goes, Maud. He isn't coming back inside. Barry's walking right on down the road.
I see him, Mary.
But he looks absolutely furious. I wonder what he and the police officer were saying.
Well, maybe it's just as well we don't know, Mary.
I suppose he's just trying to find out how strict the police orders are. About staying home, I mean.
I guess so. Larry isn't the kind of person who gives way to authority without a struggle.
Well, the officer let him go, Maud. At least he didn't try to put him under arrest or anything.
Well, I don't see how he could do that. There haven't been any charges made against anybody. At least not that I've heard of.
Oh, Maud, how I wish this were all over.
Yes, don't we all? Oh, and how I wish that I hadn't ever opened my mouth to either Claudia Vincent or Oliver Wilson. I feel that this is all my fault for being an interfering old busybody.
Oh, Maud, that's not fair. You couldn't possibly have foreseen that anything like this could come out of a few little white lies.
Little white lies, indeed. Why did I have to tell Claudia Vincent that Oliver Wilson was terribly rich, and then give Oliver the same idea about Claudia?
Oh, if either of them had been decent, honorable people, it wouldn't have made any difference.
Yeah. Doesn't make it any better for me. This whole mess is my fault.
I don't agree. You merely proved what you suspected right from the start. That both Oliver Wilson and Claudia Vincent were opportunists. That they were the rankest of fortune hunters. Otherwise, they wouldn't have eloped on such short notice. Particularly Claudia. And she knows how much it meant to Larry to have her be a credit to his judgment in the play.
Well, that doesn't alter the fact that none of this would ever have happened, Mary, if I'd kept still. Claudia would scarcely have noticed Oliver. And he'd have gone on making a play for Julia Dixon.
Oh, I don't see how that would have been any better, Maud. He'd have ruined Julia Dixon's life. Claudia would certainly have done everything in her power to come between Larry and me. She'd made pretty good strides in that direction as it was.
Well, at least everyone would still be alive. And Larry couldn't tell me that my meddling might end in his being accused of the crime.
Maud, tell me honestly. Who do you think killed Oliver?
There's so many answers to that, Mary. I couldn't pick just one.
But you don't think... Maud, it couldn't be Larry. Tell me you know it couldn't be Larry.
Maud Marlowe hesitates at this question, which is almost a plea. But she doesn't know how to answer. Meanwhile, at his estate in nearby Oyster Bay, wealthy Rupert Barlow has just come into the library. And as he sees an unexpected figure sitting before the fireplace, we hear...
Hello, Julia. I didn't know you were up and about.
I got up a little while ago, Rupert.
Well, you'd better not rush getting back on your feet, Julia. My advice is to take it easy as long as you can.
In other words, Rupert, enjoy my freedom while I may, before they arrest me for Oliver Wilson's murder.
I didn't say that, Julia.
But it's what you meant, isn't it?
Not at all. I was only trying to be considerate. Now, you've suffered a great shock. I'm well aware of that. I don't want to add to your trouble.
It doesn't really matter now. Nothing matters to me anymore. Nothing at all.
Nonsense, Julia. You'll get over that. You'll put it all out of your mind after a bit and settle back to your own life.
Just like that. Forget about everything except running your home, except writing your letters and paying your bills, looking after your servants, making your life comfortable. That's all you care about, isn't it, Rupert?
Now, Julia, listen here.
You listen to me, Rupert. You're pleased at the way this has turned out, aren't you? You can always remind me that I was a fool, that I was taken in by a man years younger than I.
I have no intention of reminding you of anything of the sort. Now, you made a mistake. You took this young Wilson at face value. You believed the flattering attentions he paid you were sincere. You wouldn't listen to me when I told you that he was no good. You knew better. But you were saved in time.
Was I, Rupert? You call this being saved?
Julia, I will exert every effort and influence to clear your name of this murder. I feel confident that I can do that for you.
In other words, you're convinced that I killed Oliver Wilson.
Let's not say any more about it, Julia. You've suffered more than enough for your mistake, and I don't want to add to your burden.
You said that before. But what makes you think that I want to be helped? That I want to be saved. By you, of all people.
Julia, you've been shamed and humiliated by a cheap fortune hunter, and it hurts. I know how much it must hurt you. But he's gone now. And I want you to know that I'm behind you, ready to support your case in every way.
Why?
Well, isn't it obvious, Julia? Because I think so much of you. Because you're far dearer to me than you realize.
Don't say that. I can't stand any more lies.
I'm not telling lies.
For more than 10 years, I listened to you. Made myself believe that you meant it when you said I was dear to you. Made myself wait until you were ready to carry out your promise to marry me.
But, Julia...
You didn't want me to leave because I've managed your home too well. But you never intended to marry me.
That's not true, Julia. It's not true at all. Now, you shouldn't have been so impatient. If you hadn't turned to this young upstart in your anger against me, none of this would have happened.
And how would I have been better off? At least now I've broken the bond that kept me chained. Whatever happens to me now, it'll be better than waiting. Endlessly and hopelessly.
You must be careful not to let anyone else hear you say such things. They'll be misunderstood. Now, I'm going to get you out of this, Julia. I'm going to help you. But you must be careful.
Careful about what, Rupert?
Don't you realize how it'll sound if you say these things to the police?
Do you think I care?
You must care. You can't allow yourself to be accused. Now, this is serious. Why, right now, there's a police officer outside. Every move we make is being watched.
So that's it. They're sure I did it. All right, let them arrest me. I haven't any objection. I'm glad he's dead, do you hear? I'm glad he deserved to die.
Rupert Barlow hurries to close the library door so that Julia Dixon's words won't be overheard. But be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.